No, he has that business. I'll meet up with him.
Yeah, you should check. I don't know about that meeting, but there might be something that needs to be talked about.
They asked if I was available, and I said yes, and they said, well, so, but it wasn't on the calendar, so.
Yeah, it might have been the thing you want. I don't know on that, but it might have been.
I'm gonna give, I'm not gonna let it get to 7:01. So.
No bill? Here we go. Call this meeting of the Houghton Community Council order. Can we have roll call, please?
Kelly Curtis?
Here.
Brian Gothrop?
Here.
Bill Goggins? John Kepler?
Here.
Betsy Pringle? Elsie Weber?
Elsie?
Here.
Rick Whitney?
Here.
And Bill Goggins is here.
Let the record know that Bill Goggins has just stepped in. So tonight, got a couple sets of minutes to approve, and then we have council member reports and comments, requests from the audiences, and then we will be having a update of the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center. So with that, has anybody any additions or corrections to the minutes of the August 28th meeting? Going once, twice. Somebody care to move for approval of this minute?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the August 28th minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, and then the September 25th minutes. Any additions or corrections?
Yeah.
Okay.
It shows that I'm present for the meeting, but it, down at the bottom where we voted, the last paragraph there, my name should be in there.
Well, that's a good correction.
Didn't you abstain from a vote?
Oh, I abstained. Okay, forget it. Turn the page over.
Never mind. All right, any other additions or corrections? Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
So it's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor of approving the minutes of the September 25th meeting, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Do we have any council member reports or comments? Actually, you know what? First, let's say hi to our newest member of the Houghton Community Council in the audience, Neil Black.
Hello.
Looking forward to having you join us up here on January. It's really great to have you, Neil.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
So, Kelly, you've got something coming up.
I always have a report, don't I?
Yeah.
Inviting everyone, particularly the people in the audience, Housing Strategy Workshop on December 2nd, 9 to noon. Most of us will be in elected official training, so we will miss it. It's at Google. There will be food. This is sort of a first public presentation of what the housing...
Is your speaker on?
I am on. No, I'm not.
Okay.
Sorry.
Repeat for the record, maybe.
All of that. Housing Strategy Workshop, December 2nd, 9 to noon at Google. Food will be available. This is a review of the survey that was taken earlier this year and strategies from the Housing Advisory Strategy Group, talking about affordability, diversity, and neighborhood character. It's a list of our recommendations that will go into a comprehensive report for the City Council to review.
Excellent.
Any other questions?
Yeah, right. Any questions? No?
Okay.
Okay. Thanks so much for serving on that.
You're
That's
welcome.
Really been a blessing to have you take that responsibility. It has.
It's a bit interesting.
Yeah.
Educational.
Any other council member reports or comments?
Just everybody got Saturday's workshop thing and does it can go or going?
Yeah.
Cool.
One other comment that I'll throw in is that we need to finalize some planning for Elsie's retirement party. And so I'm...
At the end of this meeting, I'd like a chance to say something, okay?
Well, I think we could arrange that.
Yeah. Huh?
Well, I think we could allow that, yeah. So we'll make sure. But I'd say that rather than take up meeting time after the meeting, we can just have a little planning time to get that done.
It's just going to take me 2 seconds. So.
No, I'm talking about your event.
Oh, yeah, right.
That takes more than a couple seconds. Okay. Audience members, do we have anybody in the audience who would care to speak? Ah, please.
Hi, Lisa McConnell. Wanted to congratulate the Houghton Community Council for its continued existence and the re-election of most of our members, the sad goodbye to Elsie, the warm welcome to Neil, and wanted to thank some of the members for writing into the reporter some lovely comments about why we want the Houghton Community Council, and you got a great deal of support from your neighborhood. And want to thank you all for your really hard work on working out compromises for the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center. It's not been easy, and it's been such a long process, and I really appreciate all the time and thought and consideration that you have spent on that item. And I'm a big fan of America, and my favorite thing is voting. And I love the First Amendment, but the thing I don't like about it is all the election campaign signs that are left over. And I've worked on some campaigns, and I was scratching my head about what to do with all those campaign signs that I collected at the end of the election. And I have some lovely birdhouses that I have assembled into kits that you can put together yourself. The green one is the robin. The small one is a mason bee house, and the other two on the other end are chickadee homes that you can put together. I have some if you want to take them home and work them out, and hopefully I will be able to leave some in the lobby for community members to take. And they are free, just like our elections, and thank you very much.
Wow. Bravo.
Wow, really cool. Have you?
Oh, go ahead, John.
Have you contacted a newspaper to tell them about this or anything like that?
That's no. This was one of those internet rabbit holes that I went down to think about what to do with the stacks and stacks of campaign signs that I had. And so this was just my own crazy doing. But I would like to see maybe in future election campaigns have like a complete circle about what to do with these and maybe tie this into the schools and make better use of our campaign signs than just one crazy lady in a kitchen doing something with it.
Maybe that can be a campaign issue.
Really? Like fold here, you know, little dotted.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa. Anyone else?
Anna Rising, chair of the Everest Neighborhood Association. I want to thank all of you for your very careful, thoughtful consideration of the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center. Larry and I met with the mayor last week. She felt that there were so many angry letters that you guys all were very conservative in the way you voted because you were afraid of us angry residents, apparently. So didn't get that sense from you, but I very much appreciated your support.
Thank you.
You know, it was our founding fathers that said that the government should be afraid of its people. Yes.
Okay, come on up.
I'd say something nice about you guys, but everybody else already said that, so. You know how much I'd like to write
anyway.
You letters.
Now,
so.
We know you, but you got to identify yourself for the record.
Yeah, so I'm just going to just share a few thoughts here.
You
got to
identify yourself.
Oh, yeah, Margaret Bull. I sometimes think it's easy to get my knickers in a twist about something, and especially with development issues, but I want to look at the big picture. And, you know, 20 years ago or so, the guy that owned Park Place, he wanted to redevelop. And then he didn't have that great of a development anyway. There was always empty storefronts. But then economy and the downturn or something. Then he wanted to do it again. But he wanted to take a part of the park for a road and whatever. Then there was another downturn. and then Touchstone came along, and they planned this big development, and then that didn't work out. And then now we have Kirkland Urban, and you kind of look at the long term, you think, what would Kirkland be like if the guy had done it first? What if he'd done it second? What if Touchstone had done it? What if we have Kirkland Urban and we absolutely love it? So, you know, the times change, we change, the council changes, the planning commission changes, and we never know what is the perfect right solution. Council doesn't know what the perfect right solution is. The homeowners don't. Nobody knows. We don't know if we're going to have a nuclear war. We don't know if we're going to have a volcano or an earthquake, or we don't know if our economy is going to crash. So sometimes we get our knickers in a twist thinking, oh, gosh, I can imagine this horrible thing is going to happen. And then somebody else is saying, oh, I can imagine this wonderful thing is going to happen. But none of us really know. And sometimes making plans or saying you possibly could do this or zoning will allow you to do this, but there's a lot more complicated things involved in actually doing it. In addition to that, I'm hoping when people design the zoning, they include environmental impact statements, design review board, all that stuff can kind of stretch things out. And maybe it'll happen and maybe it won't. So I want to just look at the big picture and say, only God knows. That's it.
Margaret. Thank you, Margaret. Anyone else? I'm getting a good variety of comments today. Okay. Angela, it's time for your presentation.
Thank you all for coming, by the way.
Yeah.
So I thought I would give you the presentation that I gave to the council, so just to kind of and talk a little bit about their discussion, and then, you know, we can discuss. You can ask me questions and stuff. But I thought this would be a good starting point. It's very brief. Yeah. So I went to council last Tuesday night before the Thanksgiving break. Came back today, and so I have to get back to that place. What had happened was at council has been trying to figure out a way to get the southbound right turn lane on 6th. That is the one, I would say, improvement that the consultant said would actually help with traffic. There's a lot of other improvements on 6th that will help with pedestrians and bikes and buses and are of value. But that was the one that hopefully will help cars move faster. So at a previous meeting, they were trying to get their mind around how could we make that happen. And it was suggested that, well, there were staff came back with a couple ways they could make it happen. One is for the city to pay for it. And that has to go against all the other projects in the city. So, you know, the question, and they're also would involve condemning some of the property on the corner piece where Menchie's is. So that was one option. The other option was to have the development pay for it. And they originally were thinking that they would just make it another requirement of the three-story option, but there really isn't a good nexus there. We've talked to the city attorney. There aren't enough trips that would be produced by the three-story option to make it really appropriate or even legal to require that a developer do that in order to build their development. So what staff came back with as another option was to have an incentive. So in other words, if the city gives you 5 stories, then you have to build this left turn lane. So that was the other option. We came back with those 2 options if they wanted to do something to make that right turn lane happen. And there were only 6 people at that council meeting. It wasn't the council meeting last week. It was a couple of weeks ago. And they had a 3-3 split on what they wanted staff to do as far as in writing the zoning. So we went away, and we came back again. So that happened on November 8th. And we then came back last week to talk about it again when they had a full council there and they could discuss it further. So that's a little background. And we asked them to give us a direction to go in so that we could come back to them on the at the December 12th council meeting with the ordinances. And just to let you know about that, we can make comprehensive plan amendments once a year. That's what this, the state says. We can do zoning code amendments at any time during the year because they have to match with what the comprehensive plan says. But comprehensive plan once a year, so we're really kind of getting up to the wire now if we want to make these changes this year, which we really hope to do. We don't want to go through this for another year. So on December 12th, we needed to bring back the proposal. So we told them that, and that's what the background was for what we discussed. What we did was also remind them of what your recommendation was and what the Planning Commission's recommendation was. So, and that's what I'm going to just kind of go through this list with you just as a, because it's been a while since we've talked about this. But you all had a recommendation for that middle zone, which HENC1 zone, which includes both sides of the street, your side on the south, and then also the Everest portion where the PCC is. And what I should, what I didn't say was they're only talking about the Everest portion with this. So, and so you all said just any development now up for that whole HEC1 zone, that's what our nickname for it, has to have these different pieces in it. The zoning should say these things, that any development there should go through design review. Any development has a 30-foot base height, and the density is determined by height and bulk of the building. And the reason you did that, just as a reminder to everybody, is because that's what's already in place. They can already, in that zone, it's BC, they can already build up to 30 feet, and they already have, the density is not limited by anything but the size of the building itself. So you kept that in place. 80% lot coverage, that's what was already there. You did change the required yards for retail, or recommend a change, so that they're all zero, so you could bring the buildings up to the street. There was a new design guideline, which we worked with the neighborhood on and things, talking about corner treatment, because everybody was very concerned about that corner. So there's a special consideration for that, the corners in the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center area that has more details. And I'm sorry I didn't bring it with me, but anyway, it goes into detail, and we took some suggestions from the neighborhood groups, too, on what to put in there. 75% of the ground floor has to be in that area, has to be retail, restaurants, taverns, or offices. There needs to be a building step back from all the streets above the second story and also from the Cross Kirkland Corridor. And then there's a requirement for safe pedestrian connections through the sites to the Cross Kirkland Corridor. There's also a section in the zoning code that just talks about the Cross Kirkland Corridor that's already there and has some other requirements which will apply here. Minimum 14-foot sidewalks, that's quite an increase, usually 8 to 10, but you all thought that it was important to have 14-foot sidewalks all around the site, and limit to the drive-in and drive-through facilities to gas stations and drugstores. You weren't as excited about the drugstores, but that went forward with the Planning Commission recommendation, and the council is supporting that. This was, I think, important to you. 20% of the gross floor area of any building can be office uses, but no more than that. That's the maximum. So I think what you were trying to avoid there was having a big office complex. That's not what you want. So 20% means at most it's going to be a mixed use, and it might be the ground floor, you know. There was one exception to that, and that's that property that's already in Office Park between the Cross Kirkland Corridor and the that's on the north side of the street, so it doesn't apply to you. But anyway, that's the exception. Okay, so this is just straight out what the zoning says for that number one zone on both sides of the street. Those are the things that are recommended need to be done. Then you talked about, okay, what if somebody wants to get an extra 5 feet here? What if they want to be able to go have a more comfortable three-story option? And if that's going to occur, there's more requirements, at least recommended. And the council has agreed with all this, too, I should say, so I'm expecting this to go through. If a development is 4 acres or less, it must include at least one 20,000-square-foot grocery store, hardware store, or drugstore. Now, this next piece is something that the council added in. It wasn't recommended by you, but it seems like a good thing to add in there. Development of more than 4 acres must include the one 20,000-square-foot and one 10,000-square-foot store. So they were trying to avoid maybe somebody coming in and developing the whole thing and only putting in one. So that's been added. The site plan has to include some gathering places, community plazas that would be looked at by the DRB, and there's a minimum size of one of them also in the zoning. I didn't go into all the details here. Commercial floor has to be a minimum of 13 feet high, because if you're going to want to have retail, even 13 feet is not that much. Maximum density, if you go up this extra 5 feet, is 48 units per acre. So that was something you put on there because, again, the lower level already had the density. They didn't have a density limit, but you can do it with this because you're going up the extra 5 feet. And development has to comply with green building standards. The council was talking about at least lead silver or something similar. And 10% of the residential units must be affordable. So that's basically what you recommended. There's a few adjustments that have been made. Now we get into this new thing. So this was the additional two stories, which is basically instead of 35 feet, 55 feet. And so the first thing the council said was, everything that I just told you about applies except the 48 units per acre, because obviously there's no use giving an extra two stories if you're going to keep it at 48 units per acre. You're really not doing anything. There's a requirement that that 6th Street southbound right turn lane has to be built, and it has to meet city-approved plans, obviously. And the development must include both that corner site where the Menchie's is, and the site to the west of it. And staff, actually, this size limit of 3 to 3.5 acres, the council didn't agree with. So that was something that staff was saying. Maybe you want to do that to keep it to those two sites, but the council directed us not to put that in there, because if for some reason somebody was able to also get that property where the office development is, they could include it, and then the whole north side would be under one master plan, which they thought was of value. So this is something, a master plan is, I would say, what the council felt was very important. And again, this was done before the council meeting, but we were saying that if the council really wanted an extra approval step, this is the way they could do it, and they did want that. So what they wanted is that any proposal that met these other requirements would need to come back to them for approval of a master plan. And that master plan would include the open space, the driveway consolidation, access, and building locations. Then the development, after the master plan was approved, so it's almost like looking at a site plan, really, and saying this site plan works for this site. Maybe bulk and mass, too. That's something we're working out with them. Then after that would be, assuming the master plan was approved, then they'd still go to the design review board for the specifics of the design. But this is kind of the overall framework for the development. They felt really strongly that they wanted to see it again. They wanted to go to the planning commission, get a recommendation, come to the city council, have public input on what was being proposed. They said that they wanted it to be a legislative action. The difference, what that would mean is then that they can talk to people. If it's quasi-judicial, they can't. They can just have a public hearing, but they can't be, you know, discussing it with you. And so they want it to be legislative, and we're working on I'm meeting with the city attorney tomorrow to see how that can be handled, if that can actually be done on this site. So that's basically what they really wanted to have control and review of anything over 3 stories or 35 feet. But they did want to consider 55 feet if these things were done. That's what came out of the meeting. So, any questions? I'm glad to try to answer them.
What would the public process be for the approval of the increased height? For the what's the public process for the master plan?
They want it to go to, so public hearing, noticing, this is what I think right now. Planning commission,
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah. And planning I think that the public hearing would be held by the planning commission, and then it would go to the city council. So again, a full process. They said quite a few times we want a full process for this.
And open. They said full and open. I
think yeah, so. And open. So you kind of go through what we've gone through already, only it's more specific, because at that point it would be, there would be a developer who was proposing something. There would be at least initial drawings, and then people would have an opportunity to comment on those, and the council would decide if that's what they had in mind, I guess, for the site, and also whether whether the incentive equaled
public benefit.
Yeah, the benefit was equal. They talked about, just a little side light, and I know some of you were there, they talked about like the PUD process, which is also similar, same process, same, you know, you have to have a benefit. They talked about private amendment requests, also a similar process. You know, so they're trying to keep, my impression is they want to have the public input on specifically what is being proposed and then make a decision at that point, rather than having this more general, these more general regulations, which would just say you put in the right turn lane and you consolidate the properties and you can go up.
Yeah.
So they want to have more control than that. But, and so right now I'm in the process of figuring out exactly how to do that. But the way I see it, is that it would be, again, planning, same thing, planning commission, city council, public hearing, noticing.
How does it differ from the private amendment process?
That was a question that was asked. You know, I guess the difference is that with a private amendment process, you're asking for something that the zoning doesn't mention. You know, in other words, usually a private amendment request is like, you know, right now the comprehensive plan says that all I can have on my property is office, and I want to do residential. So will you consider that? And then we change the comp plan, we change the zoning. You know, in this case, this type of use and this size of development would already be written into the comprehensive plan, into the zoning. Granted, it would be written in with stipulations or controls, but it would be referenced already.
It would actually be in the zoning?
Yeah, that's what they're asking us to do, is put it in the zoning. But not to allow, you know, with a process. So in other words, there's parts of the zoning code where things are allowed just outright. And then there's parts of the zoning code where you can't do it unless you go through a process. You're just not allowed. So, and in this case, you'd be allowed to do the first two things if you met the requirements, but you would not be allowed to do the third one unless you went through this process.
Go ahead, Brian.
I have a question. Why wasn't the office park that is just west of what you're talking about included? Mm-hmm. Because that's also commercial. I know it's private office right now, but they're pretty old.
I was showing you the staff recommendation. If you want to do it, here's the way you could do it. They did include the office park. They said, we don't want to put a limit. You have to at least combine. What they're trying to avoid is just having like the Menchie's property go up five stories and then everything, you know, it would be a little odd. Plus, it's on the corner. You want to do something special on that corner as part of the master plan.
Yeah, because the office park isn't really blocking any views.
No.
Because the way it's situated.
And, you know, so it would be, that's a possibility. It's not required. The requirement, at least the way it's written right now, would be that those two pieces had to be combined. But if they wanted to bring in the office park, they could. And honestly, I suppose that might be better as far as circulation and things.
Kelly.
To clarify, this master plan would only be for the north side of the street.
Right. That's correct.
Which destroys our hopes of this being an integrated business center with Four Corners and a gateway.
It's tough. Not so much the Four Corners. I mean, I think you can do the Four Corners. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely that concept of matching up the two sides. If this happened, mm-hmm. it'd be we different heights. There's 20-foot difference.
Mm-hmm. Angela?
Yeah.
Where it lists what they can have, I would like to make a note that I do not think there should be a tavern ever in that area so close to our schools.
I hear you.
In there.
Okay.
Question.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So we had many hearings, and we heard from the public, and they clearly do not want to see five stories on either side of the street. So why does the city council think that something different is going to happen with public input this time? It seems like they can save a lot of time by just reviewing the tapes from the previous hearings.
Yeah, and I think it's really hard for me to speak for them.
Sure.
But what I heard was that they had heard everybody. I mean, it's not like they haven't listened to the tapes. They know how, and I think that was part of the reason why they didn't just say, okay, let's let it be five stories. They were still trying to keep the process open. I don't know that they would necessarily keep the process open and then just say, okay, you don't want five stories, we're not going to allow five stories. I mean, they didn't say that. They said they are open to five stories if the design and the master plan is done correctly. I mean, they didn't say those exact words, but that's what I heard.
It sounds like they're open to it if, as long as it'll pay for what they're trying to get.
And that's involved, too. I don't think that's the only thing, but I think that's what started this, was to get that right turn lane. That's what started the conversation about this. How can we get that right turn lane?
And I think we should be clear, this wasn't unanimous the other night. So not every city council was for this plan.
That's correct. It was a 5-2 vote.
Yeah.
John Pascal and Dave Asher voted no. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
So let me just go back to the right turn lane. It seems like it's circular logic because you can't justify the right turn lane unless you have five stories. So you're gonna get five stories. You're gonna get the turn lane by going up five stories, which nobody wants. So I don't understand the logic.
I don't think that's their only reason. I think they're also interested in having additional housing. So I don't think the only reason was the right turn lane, but I think that was the big one. That's what I heard anyway. I don't know. Maybe you all were there too. So it's hard to. And then probably each council member had a different. They had their own thinking on it.
Has there been any consideration of requiring that whatever projected positive impact from the right turn lane is matched up against the negative impact of the additional, whatever the two stories, whatever the projected traffic impacts of that increased height, it does not exceed the projected benefits of the turn lane.
Yeah. They didn't talk about that. We didn't do that exact math. They did look at, as you did, what the right turn lane would do as far as reducing traffic. I mean, honestly, and we've talked about this a lot, the additional square footage isn't going to put that much more traffic on the road. The traffic's coming from other areas in the city and outside the city. you know. Well, but in answer, just directly to answer your question, no, they did not do that specific matchup.
Is there any reason that couldn't be a condition that you could require that the projected traffic impact of the additional height does not exceed the projected benefit of the turn lane? At least that would give some respect to the neighbors, that the traffic was the biggest concern. And so you're saying, well, at least there's no, you're getting a wash in terms of the traffic impacts by doing this.
Yeah, except that they didn't bring it up.
And I understand they didn't, but I'm saying I think that would at least show some respect to the concerns of the neighbors.
And I see
what
you're saying.
I would encourage you to look into, when you're talking with the city attorney tomorrow, if that could be one of the conditions that you would have that.
And what I would say, too, is if you're thinking, we've given them your recommendation, you know, and if you have some thoughts like that you might want to write something down and say it to them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, because this is the time and we're kind of at that point now where I've been directed to bring back what they asked for, you know. And it's going to be, that meeting's going to be really packed as far as they have a lot of business to take care of. So if you have thoughts like that, and I will sort of check into it.
At
but
least
I don't
explore it. I only say that. I will be talking with Amy and Jay for sure within the next week. John and I will be meeting with them. And
so you might bring that up.
We will, for sure.
Yeah.
But I'd like you to at least explore that possibility.
I will.
Okay. I'm not saying that I'm thrilled about the whole thing, but at least I think that gives some consideration to the concerns of the neighbors.
Yeah, I don't think traffic was the only thing they were concerned about. I mean, just the visual impact, the circulation, the parking, the forced parking that would potentially be caused out of the area and into the neighborhoods, the stress on schools for extra housing.
Yeah.
I think there were
many
variables. It's not as simple as just traffic. So I would hate for this to be just boiled down to one scenario. And that whole process that we went through over a year to be overturned for a narrow goal.
Well, the problem is, Brian, we don't have any veto power over this proposal, so.
Not sure that's true.
Yeah, I go ahead, John, if you wanna expand on that.
I have looked at this several ways. I think the obvious way to look at it is, gee, what about the traffic? What about the height? What about all the parts and pieces that we've studied for the past year? And then I step back and look at it a little bit more holistically, and what I came away with is that neighborhood planning is really just that. It's the neighborhood getting together, planning what their neighborhood wants to be. That neighborhood plan is then reviewed and incorporated into a comprehensive plan for the city. Then the zoning looks at the comprehensive plan and matches up and writes zoning code for the vision of what the neighborhood plan should be. So notwithstanding of what, you know, my personal thoughts as an architect are, because as an architect, I could see a big building. I could see everything. But as an elected official and going through the process, our constituents have very definitely taken a direction overall of what the neighborhood wants to be. I find it a little ironic that the central neighborhood plan was the one that started out, we could be bigger, we could have more housing, we could, but only if we work in conjunction with Everest. When Everest finally came to the party, the thought process recoagulated into, now what we really want is smaller. And my takeaway from that is that we wanted a neighborhood center that was cohesive. That was the takeaway I came away with. We want a cohesive neighborhood center. Right now there's one zoning on that property. Whatever we do for Houghton, right now, because there's one zoning on it, falls on Everest. So the real question I have to ask myself that I would really like to chat with everybody about, are we willing to go to bat to help Everest? I think that's what boils down to.
How do we do that legally?
Can I say one thought that came to mind? And we were just talking about this for a minute before, and I hadn't really focused on this. You have disapproval jurisdiction.
Right.
So that would mean, you know, I'm assuming you mean that you would disapprove of the changes.
Yeah.
If you do that, your comp plan will say 5 stories.
The zoning won't.
Correct.
Right.
Just saying.
And
that's the one thing to keep in mind.
Right.
You know.
We don't.
So anyway, really? I just want to tell you that because I didn't mention that before because I hadn't thought of that. But anyway, that is an issue.
Mm-hmm. And we've been trying for 3 years since 2012 to get the comp plan in alignment with the zoning.
The zoning, that's correct.
Okay, so it's no different than we've been dealing with for several years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an extreme posture. The reality is I find it just ironic that we are this way and now we're this way.
Mm-hmm.
And so from my standpoint, what the city is focused on is some sort of private amendment request, a PAR, a legislative process, some sort of additional vehicle that comes in with a regular zoning and says, we now have an idea that we'd like to explore for approval. That's what that process is. Mm-hmm. That can happen whether this happens or not. Mm-hmm. Essentially, what the city council said by a vote of 5-2 is that if you bring us 5 stories that gives us a turn lane, we really want that. That's essentially what happened. And I'm not sure that's what we should say right now, because we need to look after the citizens who've entrusted us to deal with the process. And I'm really, really sorry Betsy's not here, because she's the one that really hammered this into my head last meeting. We have to respect this process. That's why we're here. So, with that said, if anybody has any comments about helping Everest.
Have you thought through the chess game? And
yeah, walk me through this.
Well, I could see us veto. We can veto, but then they can come back and...
What the city council wants to do on that property, they're going to do regardless of what we do.
Yeah.
I think what we need... what my comment to the mayor and the vice mayor when we get together is we need to work on this through the neighborhood process. Bottom up, what the neighborhood wants, not top down.
But that's what we have been doing.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I have a question. What started the whole joint project? Because I think that happened just before I started. Was that a city council saying we want a cohesive plan?
No,
you started it.
We did. What happened was we did an update to the neighborhood plan for the Central Houghton neighborhood.
Right, I remember. Yeah.
And there was a major concern over what to do with the Houghton Center. And we said, well, we should not be making plans for the Houghton Center. It needs to be done comprehensively with the Everest side, not just the Houghton side. And so although we said conceptually we could consider up to 5 stories, but it was totally subject to a comprehensive plan for the entire Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center. That was what we agreed to. We were not willing to commit to doing anything with the zoning or anything beyond until we went through a comprehensive plan.
And just to add a little bit into that too, and that's all correct.
Yeah.
But in other parts of the city where we have a road going down the middle of two neighborhoods, in, for example, Market Street, we've got Norkirk and Market. But that Market Street really relates to both of them. So we have a special plan for the Market Street corridor. It's true in Rose Hill. So it's kind of a standard way to handle it because it's so close, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to draw that line somewhere, and when it ends up somewhere like a main thoroughfare, then it makes sense to try and do the two together.
Yeah.
And then you all just agreed with that and wanted to do it that way. So
pretty much insisted on it.
Well,
yeah.
Let me ask. those various processes that you mentioned, what recourse do the citizens have? Could they get a certain amount of signatures? I mean, it's elected officials. The city council, you know, they're elected officials, and there's different processes depending on how it proceeds. Is there a way that they can be overturned by the citizens, like a grassroots?
Yeah, well, I think that's already, I mean, guess what I would say is that's already been done. It's very clear to the council how the citizens feel about this. And this is, they, at least some of them, do not agree. This was their attempt at compromise. I mean, they're going to be make, you know, and I think it is a compromise. I mean, they could, you know, it may not be one that's acceptable, but it was their attempt at compromise. And this is the end of the process. You know, they're required to have take public comment, to have public hearing. I mean, we've been doing this for a long time. We've heard from a lot of people. They've heard that, they know that, and then they make their decision. Just like any other government, you know, you hire your elected, or you vote for your elected officials, and you give them a certain amount of power to make a decision in the end. That's what's happened. So that's where we are, you know.
So one of the key messages from this whole process for me was, hey, let's not go crazy and develop too much, because we don't know what's going to happen when Kirkland Urban is fully developed, and mm-hmm. you know, what's that going to do with traffic? What happens when Google expands into another third building? And so let's kind of take it easy and watch how the thing develops mm-hmm. before we do anything that's going to be, we're going to regret.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
maybe that kind of message that more to the city.
That and that I they have. They have heard that.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, and I believe they've really heard it. I don't think they're, you know, I think they've listened to that, and the various council members have taken that into account and made this decision. I don't want to. It's really difficult for me because I'm not trying.
Speak for them.
You know, I'm trying to pass on what I've
sure.
heard.
Yeah.
I'm
don't
not even
the
sure
messenger.
That it's exactly right. You know, but. But that's the way I understand it. And again, I think that what they were hoping with this process is that would give them a chance if and when this comes forward. And again, the two property owners have to agree to move forward and all that. You know, I don't know. It could happen tomorrow, but probably it won't. They will.
Are you aware of any such inertia
no,
that way at all?
No, I mean, I have heard, and you have heard from the owners of the PCC
right.
side that they are in, PCC wants a larger store.
Right.
They want a newer store, and in order to redevelop, they have said that they need more height. That I have heard. I know they're interested in that, but I haven't heard anything from that property on the corner. I mean, you know, so I don't know. But anyway, point is that I think the council was thinking that they would have a chance to reevaluate. That's why they're doing this. They could reevaluate it at the time that the proposal was made. You know, so I think that's the way they're responding to that. Whether that's adequate or not, you know, I can't judge. But I'm just saying I think that's how they're responding to it.
John, back to, I want to make sure that I'm tracking on what your thoughts are on how this could proceed. Do you see a scenario where we could take a veto action that would actually stop this?
I think the reality is we can't stop it because it's outside our purview.
Okay. Well, that's what I said, and then your initial response was, well, I'm not so sure about that, so
well,
I want to hear what
you said we don't have veto action over it. That's what I was responding to,
okay.
is that if we discuss a possible veto of the legislation that would change the zoning, everything would revert back to the old zoning. I don't think that's what anybody wants. I don't think anybody wants to... disrespect this long process that we've gone through to come up with recommendations that have been a compromise between the Planning Commission and our council. I think the salient point is that it is a very strong and clear message that we want a cohesive neighborhood. I mean, I would much rather have a cohesive, bigger neighborhood than a discohesive neighborhood. I think it would be designed better that way as an architect. It just flies in the face of everything. And I was at the city council meeting, as were you, and heard the very clear discussions. They were good discussions from their points of view. I absolutely understood them. I just don't agree with the idea that, well, on one side of the street, we'll just make it bigger. I've got both neighborhood plans in front of me. Policy CH 7.3 says, regarding the Houghton Center, any building heights to step up to 5 stories of careful attention is given to building modulation, upper story setbacks, et cetera, et cetera. In the Everest plan, the height of the structure shall not exceed 35 feet. Nowhere in the Everest plan that I can find is any more than 12 units per acre, except the little teeny area. Well, even the little area up by the freeway entrance, I still think is 12 units per acre, and it does say they would allow more if a process was gone through. So the 48 units per acre is more in a big building right now. At the 30 feet, there's no density, but it's controlled by volume. Just to be clear on this, what the city council proposed did not include, as I understand it, residential suites. It just said
they would move the
density, but residential suites is a classification all of its own, so it does not include residential suites.
That's correct.
It's just no density. So they'd build more units of, you know, normal size units. And so I think if we sent language that we would consider exercising our authority by vetoing the entire legislation, and we would rather the city just, instead of suggesting what they want, if somebody that owned the properties came in with a private amendment request, that they do that, because that's the process that we have.
So to be clear, you would say, I want to make sure I understand, you're saying we could veto just because the whole Section 1 part of it falls in Houghton.
Right.
Okay.
Just to be honest with you, all that has to occur is that there's two ordinances, Section 1A and 1B.
I understand that, Angela. I clearly understand that. But what better mechanism do we have to give a very clear message to the city?
You will
council?
Make a point. That's correct.
What message do we have? How can we stand up for the people that voted us? How can we do it? How?
Poor Angela is the messenger. We're not trying to kill you, really.
And I don't feel like you are. I understand. And all I'm trying to do is just say, this is what happened. If you do this, this will happen. Or, for example, in other things that you have disagreed with, we just say this does not apply in the Houghton jurisdiction.
And you know what? If that happened and they made an ordinance and made it Section 1 and Section, or 1A and 1B, that's on their voting record.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
of course. Yeah. And I mean, so is this. However we do it,
regardless,
it's very clear.
Record, yeah.
You know, but and they know that. And I mean, I do feel that they stood up and said, this is what we believe. You know, I mean, they weren't trying to. And they know what you all feel about it. And that was all clear.
Well, if we start with baby steps, I think the first piece of the pie is, do we want the whole neighborhood center to be cohesive in its mass, bulk, and scale, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, and I think we should discuss that. The second part is, do we want the whole neighborhood center to be cohesive in its percentage and mixes of housing and shops and retail and that sort of thing, yes or no? Because we've kind of gone through that list of 20% office, et cetera, et cetera. Do we want the whole area to be consistent, yes or no?
Yes.
And I think that's really more of a those are probably more of a neighborhood planning as opposed to the Houghton Community Council, which again, I'm really sorry Betsy's not here because she's the one that was the chair of the neighborhood planning process, and she could opine better on that than I. So ask those two things, and then ask the question of the planning commission if they feel it would be better that without any direction as to what a private amendment request or a legislative process ought be, just let it happen organically and let the developers, if they wanted to do something, bring it in. And clarify the process perhaps a little bit more in the ordinance as to how the process will actually happen. Give that suggestion to the city council that right now they've just talked about it's a clear and open process, but perhaps that would be better defined as it'll follow the rules of a hearing, but it'll be legislative, not quasi-judicial. Yeah.
And just to let you know how this is going to work, we will be bringing them, as I said, we have to do comprehensive plan changes once a year. So the comprehensive plan changes will be brought to them, when is it, next week or the week? I know that I have to have a information packet to them by Thursday. And that will include the comprehensive plan changes, but not the zoning changes, because this is another complication. We want to be sure we do it correctly. So in December, we'll go to the council with comp plan changes. In January, we'll go to the council with the zoning that matches those comp plan changes. And then we'll come to you all, assuming that this all gets, you know, they are ready with that zoning and it happens in January. We'll come to you at the end of January with both those things. And there'll be separate ordinances. And right. You can decide at that time whether you want to disapprove of both or one of them, or it'd probably be both if you're going to, you know. So you do have a little time to think about it, and also you'll know more as they work through this process themselves, because what they did was just give me this general direction and say, this is what we want to have happen. And now, it's particularly in writing the zoning, you have to be very careful how it's written to be sure that it's correct and everything. So that's why we're working with the city attorney on it.
Well, regarding the next action item for the city council, Eric Shields forwarded to me the list that was generated. I think you and I were standing together when all this happened.
Yeah. That was more zoning.
Yeah, the zoning pieces. Has this been flushed out any further to discuss?
No. No, that's what I'm saying. We're working on that now. That will not go to the council in December. What will go to the council in December is the neighborhood plans. And so the way I see that working now is yours will be changed. It won't say 5 stories anymore. It'll say 3. And all the other changes that we talked about. But the big thing, it'll say 3.
But theirs won't say 3 stories anymore. It'll say 5.
5. Yeah. With, you know, explanation of that. But that's what... that's what you'll be seeing. It won't go into all, it will talk about a master plan and there'll be, you know, special review required, but it's not going to go into much more specific language than what you're seeing there. Then when we come forward with the zoning in January, it'll say exactly how it's going to be done. Right. So
in your scenario, what do we lose? We've gone through this process. We have a vision of a 20,000 storefront, 10,000 storefront, affordable housing, so forth. So if we veto this, then we've lost all of that.
It's the zoning as it exists today. Yep. However, we've heard testimony on our side. Nobody's going to do anything for 20 years.
That's not
and by the time they start to do something, they're going to come in for a PAR anyway. I shouldn't say that because I don't know, but that's typical in the development world. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing for us to decide tonight, but I wanted to get this information. I wanted everybody to have an opportunity to get fully informed, to express their feelings, and just talk about possible scenarios on what, if any, influence we can have over the process.
And then, and again, by the time I come back to you in January, we'll have a lot more information.
Do you anticipate that being when we have our joint meeting with the Planning Commission for the hearing, which is scheduled like January 13th or something?
Oh, no, I did not.
You do not?
Unless, no, because...
January 11th?
No, so...
Yeah, we have a joint hearing and study session with the PC on January 11th.
And then are you not having your normal meeting
then,
maybe?
Well, we certainly could, but... I had anticipated that if we didn't have any other significant, if any significant business could be accomplished, it would be nice to basically substitute that meeting for our
meeting. So, and again, I'm sort of like, if everything goes as planned, and then, you know, it's possible that we will bring back the zoning in January and the council will say, that's not exactly how we wanted it to be. You know, you need to do more work on it or something. I don't know. But. Yeah. If they did finish in January, it would be after that meeting.
It would.
So, yeah, I can't remember the date, but it's probably the Tuesday. You guys are on Monday. It might be Tuesday the 14th, whatever, the day after or something. So that's not going to work. So
the 11th is a Thursday.
Oh, 11th, because you're doing it combined. So then it's the fall. I'm pretty sure it's the following Tuesday.
It wouldn't be the 9th?
No, it would not be the 9th. Okay. So,
So we're going to have two meetings.
You may
in
have
January.
To have two meetings.
That's fine.
But again, and that might be good because it sounds like there's you know, we want to spend some time on it. It sounds like you're going to have questions.
Yeah.
You know, there is a possibility that it wouldn't be till February, just depending on how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, I had thought if the zoning was delayed, that maybe what I would do is come back to you with the comp plan, but we'll see, and then do come the next month with the zoning. But, you know. We don't have to do that, and maybe you don't want to have that extra meeting. Maybe you want to look at them together. But let's just see how this all plays out, and then we can decide what's the best way to handle it.
Okay. Any other questions? John?
I guess, a little confused on this because I understood there was an opportunity for the city council to get this finalized so the comp plan could get done this year, which was the goal, and then we'd vote on it next year. So we're not really going to have an opportunity to meet again and discuss again what we might want to tell the city council. Tonight's it.
That's true, because if you want to tell them something now, you know, in advance, like when you meet with them.
Well, we the council should do it, not us.
You have given your recommendation. They know how, you know, your recommendation, three stories, 35 feet tops, all that stuff. They know that. They also know that you would veto if residential suites were included. You know, they've been told all that. So that portion of this process is done. That doesn't mean you can't express something else to them. I'm just saying.
And that's what I was talking about tonight. The city council meeting that happens in December.
Mm-hmm.
Puts this to bed. It's coming back to us in January to do nothing, approve it, or veto it.
Right. For the comp
plan
portion.
The comp plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Which includes.
But that's important because, I mean, it's like if you don't like the five-story part, that's going to be in the comp plan for it.
Tonight's the night.
Yeah.
If we don't say anything tonight about the five-story is going to be in the comp plan because they voted 5-2
on it. Five stories.
Well, I think. Yes, that's correct, but I mean, haven't you already said that you don't want five stories? If the veto part wouldn't come until later. I guess if you want to pass on to them that you're going to veto it, that's a possibility. I'm trying to understand what...
At least if we discuss to send the message again. I'm just asking, guys.
I'm just processing because you're... What you're talking about is fairly drastic after this much time. And I'm worried that it's an emotional reaction sort of stomping our feet because we're mad that this is happening, and I'm not sure that it will accomplish what we want it to accomplish after we've invested so much time with our constituents and the planning committee on what we want this to look like. So I'm hesitant.
Okay.
That was my concern from the start, John, is that that's why I say, what's the end game? You know, think through, you got to think through like a chess match.
I mean, I'm frustrated.
You know, I think the city council, all they will do is just create two separate ordinances for Hilton and Everest, and they'll just go around us.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's. I don't see any. I mean, I really don't see.
I understand and I appreciate your intent, and I'm frustrated also. I think this is unfortunate. I don't think it's about traffic. I think that a couple council members keep talking about housing, which was not our agenda item from day one. It was always about neighborhood character and traffic, and now all of a sudden it's, wait, you need more housing. And according to the consultant that talked in March, three stories is 574 more units of housing. Mm. We're adding 10% housing. This is a win for the entire neighborhood. So I'm with you. I'm frustrated, but blowing the whole thing up, I don't think it accomplishes anything.
Okay.
I'm inclined to think the housing is just a bit of a red herring. I'm not sure that that's really, they're just using that as an excuse, I think, personally. We can't read their minds, but that would be my guess.
I'd like yes, Elsie.
Make a comment. We spent months and months and months and almost 2 years coming up with the neighborhood plan for the center.
Yeah.
We listened to all the people in our area, and we also listened to the people from Everest, which unfortunately we do not have veto power over. And I don't want to see this get changed and after we've gone to all this work to do what the people in our area want.
You don't want to see the Houghton, the work we've done
Houghton
for Houghton.
Side.
Get
I mean,
changed?
I can't do anything about Everest. I wish we could, but you know.
Well, we can appeal to council members.
We can complain, but yeah. I mean, when it comes right down to the bottom line, the city council is going to do what they want to do on that side of the street.
Okay.
Okay.
Other comments?
You said enough.
So, John, if I hear what you're saying, you if you had your druthers, you would have us at least agree that we're prepared to veto the comp plan. That tonight, send a message to the council that we're prepared to veto it if it includes a five story option for Everest.
So I don't necessarily agree with your terminology. My druthers would be because I'm bringing this up as discussion. What can we do?
Yeah.
So I'm going to back off the extreme portion of it now and simply ask everybody: does the council think it's a good idea one more time to instruct staff to give a statement to the city council that we would like a cohesive neighborhood city center, the entire neighborhood center, all the same zoning period?
Yes.
Does anybody disagree with that? Do you have any problem with John and I really strongly pushing for that when we meet with the mayor and the deputy mayor?
It's fine.
We don't want to be speaking for ourselves, but I think, you know, as long as there's support from the council as a whole, then we'll do everything we can.
No, I think that's fine. I would ask in addition to really push hard as to what the motivation is, because I agree. I think the housing is a red herring. My understanding is right on 85th, where Outback is, and they're going to build a huge multi-use housing
like
unit.
Like 800 apartments or something?
Huge, huge.
I don't know.
Where Petco is.
Yeah, that's
I
my
understanding. That's
my understanding. I don't feel that housing is really the issue here. I don't know what is. But I would really ask you to try to get through the fog and see what their intention is. I mean, the two that you'll be meeting with are two of the yes votes.
Yeah.
Well, I probably would like to request that it go a step further and that it be told to the entire city council in the public meeting where it's recorded, as opposed to just at a study session that we have. That's what I believe. I know, like, mm-hmm. Is there any agreement on that?
I think that's a good idea.
So on December 12th?
On December 12th, staff or one of us simply state that the Houghton Community Council would like a cohesive neighborhood center, that the zoning be the same for both sides of the street, so it's a consistent development. And that we implore them to follow the recommendations that were jointly drafted by the Houghton Community Council and the Planning Commission.
Didn't I say that last meeting? Thank you, Kelly. Maybe you can say it louder.
I just, you know, it's a drum. We should beat it.
Should that be a motion we vote on tonight?
Well, I'm wanting to see if there's any traction, and then I'll move that to a motion.
Maybe we can make T-shirts.
I think you have total support for that.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't see any disagreement.
I would like to move that the Houghton Community Council, at the December 12th City Council meeting, clearly state that we wish the City Council would consider approving the zoning recommendations that were worked out by the Planning Commission and the Houghton Community Council to create a cohesive neighborhood center, and not have separate zoning.
I second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. So, do you want me to put that in the memo? You gonna come and say it? Both?
I am prepared to come unless John would rather. John and I will work it out.
We'll
prepare a statement that reflects what we've just.
Okay, and you'll come and.
Yeah, we'll just make a brief presentation.
Yeah. So remember, you'll do it at the beginning of the meeting though, because they won't be, you know, under items from the audience is when you'll want to do it. You don't want to miss your chance.
You can't sneak us into part of the process.
It won't be a hearing. I just don't want you to miss your opportunity.
Fair
you enough. Know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Rick missed his opportunity a long time ago.
Not sure what that means, but
I appreciate you all being patient with my thought process. Thank you.
Well, John, we share your feelings completely.
We know where you're coming from.
Yeah. Where, how you get where you want to go. Okay. Thank you, Angela, once
you're welcome.
Again.
You're welcome.
And our apologies for dragging you through this. You've been great. Thank you.
No problem. It's important and it's fun.
Yeah. Elsie.
I changed my mind.
You're not resigning.
Yeah, is that your
speech? I'm afraid it's a little late.
Yeah.
That's not what I meant. I see a very handsome replacement for me back there. So
so now you're really mad you're leaving, huh?
Darn. God, his face is red.
Well, I would like to say to you, for somebody who has shepherded so many of the minutes and special information from your tenure here on the council, thank you very much. It has been beyond a delight.
Thank you, John.
Oh, we'll be saying a lot more at the official event, but yeah. So everybody prepared to, after the meeting adjourns, have a brief planning session for the, okay, good. So with that.
No.
Oh, whoa.
All I just want to put on record is I will not be here on January 11th. I have plans to be out of town.
Okay.
Do you need to call in like you did from Hawaii?
Shh. Considering the time difference, I might be able to do that. I'll be on the East Coast watching my senior son swim, so.
Wow. Cool. Okay. Meeting adjourned.
So I'm going to be locking the front door. Is that okay with everybody? Because I'm going to take off.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Sure. In fact, if everybody's down for it,
you want us to get out of here?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. In fact, if everybody's down for it,
you want us to get out?